welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, and hold on. Those junior doctors again. We're not going to enter into the political debate here, although it does seem they've got a case, but they're just one example of why the wheels are falling off the NHS bus. Last month, the King's Fund presented an excellent slideshow on the District Council's contribution to public health on their website. Slide 8 was particularly close to our hearts, estimating the costs of noise pollution at £3 billion a year, air pollution £20 billion a year, and stating that there are around 20,000 cases of foodborne illness requiring hospital treatment every 12 months. Take some of the pressure of that lot off our junior doctors, and there'd be no need for everything that's going on at the moment. Instead of that, though, ministers seem intent on hiding behind the NHS budget is sacrosanct wall, or ignoring all those services outside the wall that stop people arriving at A&E in the first place. DEFRA showed a great example of that this week with the announcement that the amount of money made available to local authorities in England to deal with air quality this year is to be reduced to £500,000. There are 360 authorities in England, so that means £1,388 each. Hey, don't spend it all at once. The move has angered environmental pressure group Client Earth, who took the government to court last year over its inability to reach EU guidelines in many major cities. Before hard-pressed chief executives decide what to do with their small cut, though, much of the new grant will be spent on feasibility studies to look at establishing clean air zones in Birmingham, Leeds, Nottingham, Derby and Southampton by 2020. Other projects will include supporting electric car charging points and supporting walking and cycling. Yes, all out of £500,000. Obviously, the figures reported in 2014 by the Committee on the Medical Effects of Air Pollutants, who estimated that exposure to air pollution causes 28,869 deaths a year and 306,835 lost life years, has fallen on deaf ears. Air pollution isn't the only local authority service under threat after the Food Standards Agency board backed proposals to move away from physical inspections by local authority environmental health officers after it emerged that growing numbers of councils are struggling to meet the legal threshold for food safety checks. The board agreed last week that maintaining the existing system was not an option, as it was creaking under the strain of local cuts and an increasing number of food businesses opening on the high street. Proposals, which will be discussed with stakeholders at special meetings across the country, urge regulators to find alternative ways to check food businesses are safe to eat in. Let's just think about that one for a moment. It's Monday morning in a local authority environmental health department and the phone rings. Hello, I'd like to report the state of the kitchen on my local takeaway. I'm amazed they get away with it. If I can see it, what are your inspectors doing? Well, we've looked at the paperwork, we've provided them with a pile of guidance and given them the address of an interactive video on the FSA website. Yeah, but what about having a look? Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We don't do that anymore. The other thing, of course, is after heralding the food hygiene rating scheme, including our favourite recent headline from Wales Online, the Food Standards Agency have the recipe for romance. I've booked us a secluded table in that nice little bistro, arranged a single red rose on the table, and made sure we won't have a week off work with salmonella by checking the food hygiene rating. Yes. Anyway, the rating scheme relies on a number of things, but primarily on inspection. So do away with that, and it becomes a tick box exercise that loses all credibility. A new report by the government's Advisory Committee on the Microbiological Safety of Food has said that eggs carrying the British Lion stamp now pose a very low risk of salmonella. Better hygiene and improved storage measures are thought to be behind the improvement. Vulnerable individuals, including pregnant women, have previously been advised to avoid eating lightly cooked eggs, following links with salmonella poisoning that originated from studies carried out in 1989. The Food Standards Agency is now conducting a consultation on whether to update their current guidance as a result of a report, which is the first on the subject in 15 years. Time now, perhaps then, to put the Edwina Curry scandal of the early 90s to rest and all enjoy dipping those soldiers again. We were interested to discover an article on the What Culture website this week entitled 10 Deadly Things People Used to Think Were Harmless. The results were fascinating, starting at number 10 with giving brandy to the baby, which was a 19th century cure for teething, moving through asbestos, which the Victorians, of course, used for everything, from paper to cigarette filters, and was a major part of 1940s gas masks, alum in bread, which was included to make it look nice and white in the 17th century, unfortunately producing the fatal side effect of causing chronic stomach illness in children, smoking, which included the brilliant advert More Doctors Smoke Camels from the 1950s, and ending at number one with arsenic, a major constituent of 18th century cosmetics. Next time someone yells, "It's health and safety gone mad," might just be worth keeping a copy of that unenviable top 10 handy. Finally this week, it's time for a bit of fracking. Or not, as the case may be. Environmental group Greenpeace have erected a 10-metre-high mock fracking rig in Parliament Square as a protest against government support for the controversial practice. The rig, which is accompanied by lorry and drilling sounds and features a real flare that fires up every hour, has been constructed to coincide with a public inquiry into Lancashire County Council's decision to turn down an application from shale gas company Quadrilla against the advice of planning officers. Quadrilla were refused permission to extract shale gas from sites at Little Plumpton and Roseacre Wood in Lancashire in June on the grounds of noise and traffic impact. The hearing, which is being held at Blackpool FC's Bloomfield Road ground, is being conducted by the planning inspectorate, but Community Secretary Greg Clark will make the final decision because the results, so the government say, will be of more than local significance. The inquiry is expected to last 5 weeks, but is unlikely to be the end of the story, according to David Penny from the pressure group Keep East Lancashire Frack Free, who told the Lancashire Telegraph, "If the applications are approved by Mr Clark, we will appeal it to the High Court and Europe if necessary, and engage in peaceful civil disobedience to stop fracking." Well, with that in mind, I just couldn't resist this. See you in a fortnight.
There I was, a digging in his hole in the ground, so big and sort of round it was, and there was I, digging it deep. It was flat at the bottom and the sides were steep. When along comes this bloke in a bowler, which he lifted and scratched his head. Whoa, he looked down the hole, poor demented soul, and he said, "Do you mind if I make a suggestion? Don't dig it there, dig it elsewhere. You're digging it round and it ought to be square. The shape of it's wrong, it's much too long, and you can't put a hole where a hole don't belong."
I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here is written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
Well, there we were, discussing this hole in the ground, so big and sort of round it was, it's not there now. The ground's all flat and beneath it is the bloke in the bowler hat. And that's that.